like what you like. Music and patter and Dick Van Dyke.
Hi, Dick Van Dyke again. Do you know who Mad Dog Middlecoff is? Public Enemy number 3. Now we're going to give you the old one too. Wayne and Schuster.
When the wind comes up and the sky grows black, as in Noah's time it used to, the farmers have a saying and it goes like this.
It really works rather like Wayne and Schuster.
We're very happy to welcome to our flare microphone one of the distinguished criminals of our time, Public Enemy number 3, Mad Dog Middlecoff. Hello there, Mad Dog.
Hi.
Mad Dog, the reason we've come to your hideout to interview you is because there's a rumor around town that you are planning to give yourself up.
That is correct. I'm toying with the idea, but I ain't decided how I'm going to do it.
Well, now, what do you mean, how?
Well, you must have read about them criminals that surrendered a few months ago. One of them surrendered to the Daily Mirror, another one surrendered to the Daily News.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, it's okay for them guys, but for a guy with my standing, I'm number 3, you know.
Yes, I know.
I could never surrender to a newspaper.
Oh?
It would have to be a magazine, at least.
You would surrender to a magazine?
Not just any magazine. It would have to be a prestige magazine like the Saturday Review of Literature or the Atlantic Monthly, you know.
I see. Some criminals have surrendered to Walter Winchell.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking Walter, but if I'm going to surrender, it would have to be Clifton Fadiman, Louis Cronenberger, Gilbert Seldes, John Mason Brown, in a pinch, Bennett Cerf, but that's as far as I'll go.
Well, is there a feeling in the underworld that surrendering to a daily paper is daily?
Well, there's a feeling you can't go out and just surrender to any paper.
I see.
There's a question of editorial policy, political orientation.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if a guy's been a Democrat all his life, he's certainly not going to surrender to a Republican newspaper.
Of course. Well, have you ever thought of surrendering to some other medium?
What do you mean?
Well, there's radio, there's television, there's the record business.
Well, radio and television's out of the question, because if I go on, the FBI can insist on equal time.
I see. Well, that leaves the record business.
Yeah, you kidding. How do you think I got to be Public Enemy number 3?
Thou swell.
Thou swell, thou witty, thou sweet, thou grand, wouldst kiss me pretty, wouldst hold my hand, for thine eyes are cute too, what they do to me. Hear me holler, I choose a sweet lollapalooza in thee. I'd feel so rich in a hut for two, two rooms and kitchen. I'm sure would do. Give me just a plot of not a lot of land. And thou swell, thou witty, thou grand.
Crazy! Two rooms and kitchen, I'm sure would do.
Martin Gable reading Meeting at Night.
Oh, come all ye lovers of classic lore, of legend, tale, and rhyme. Gather round and give attentive ear. It's that once upon a time.
This is Martin Gable. The romance between Robert Browning and Elizabeth Barrett is one of the most famous in literature. And this poem records a clandestine meeting of theirs. Meeting at night, Robert Browning. The gray sea and the long black land, and the yellow half moon large and low, and the startled little waves that leap in fiery ringlets from their sleep, as I gain the cove with pushing prow and quench its speed i' the slushy sand. Then a mile of warm sea-scented beach, 3 fields to cross till a farm appears, a tap at the pane, the quick, sharp scratch and blue spurt of a lighted match, and a voice less loud through its joys and fears than the 2 hearts beating each to each.
Sings, I could write a book. It may not be another Peyton Place, but it's as close as he could steal it.
If they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. I could write a so the world would never forget. And the simple secret of the plot is just to tell them that I love you a lot. Then the world discovers, as my book ends, how to make two lovers of friends. If they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. I could write a preface on how we met, so the world would never forget. And the simple secret of the plot is just to tell them that I love you a lot. Then the world discovers, as my book ends, how to make two lovers a friend.
Robert Sturdivant on Flair,
with Paris in the air, with anything that's new, la 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 la,
or anything, ooh.
la la la.
On the basis of early returns, the Paris fashion industry once more is setting the pace. The world's buyers are here with heavy American representation, no matter what New York's 7th Avenue fashion moguls may think of Parisian ideas. And there are plenty of ideas, plus new and fancy twists on old themes. The early sensation is Nina Ricci's effort to turn women back to the flapper era, and the betting is that it will stick, at least for the younger people. Because to wear a smokestack with a sharp flare at the bottom requires the figure of a reed and better than ordinary height. But for those ladies who don't qualify on this score, the Paris designers still have lots to offer. For example, Antonio Castillo of the House of Lanvin is celebrating his 10th year in Paris with a new mode he calls the diamond look or the triangle look. It starts with very broad shoulders and moves to a closely nipped-in waist by way of kimono sleeves. In fact, Señor Castillo has put kimono sleeves on everything, dresses, coats, suits, and evening gowns. It's a pleasing merger of East and West, a Cold War effect that the world's politicians might copy. Pierre Balmain, of course, is still good old solid Pierre. His specialty is the luxury fashion, the magnificently made and fitted creations which always draw some of the world's most soigné women. But even Balmain seems to give in partially to the flapper. His models have their hair cut short. This is Robert Sturdivant in Paris.
Child doesn't like to practice the piano, do what Dr. Frankenstein did for Boris Karloff. Give him an ear for music.
Rock-a-bye, baby, get a grip on your chair, 'cause here's Boris Karloff for you now on Flair.
This little Flair memorandum is dedicated to all the mothers in the group whose living rooms echo with the notes of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, Mary Had a Little Lamb, Ba, Ba, Black Sheep, and other classics from the beginning piano player's repertoire. The message is simply, don't, if you want your child to like music, don't put the pressure for practicing on too hard. The whole point in piano lessons is to enhance a child's appreciation of music, and in the view of the experts on such matters, rigorous rules about practicing are likely to accomplish just the opposite. Music becomes not something to enjoy, but something to be endured. The musical instrument becomes not a happy means of self-expression, but, as one psychologist put it, the symbol of parental demands. The recommended course of action is to let the youngster proceed at his own speed, with friendly parental encouragement, but without strong parental pressure. That way, a fumbling ba-ba black sheep may one day develop into a pleasant Brahms lullaby. And when your youngster grows up, he'll think of a concert as something to enjoy, not as a form of excruciating punishment.
This is Dick Van Dyke, the barefoot bridegroom. You know, I've noticed that by the time the average guy decides to settle down and raise a family, his wife's already been married for 2 or 3 years. Yeah, a guy with a few wild oats still left in him likes to take his time about sowing them. And one of the best antidotes is to get him inside his church or temple. I'm serious. Religious faith strengthens the bonds that hold any family together, and a fellow who goes to church with his family on a regular basis is really stronger morally than the next guy, and spiritually too, of course. Religious education and devotion gives youngsters a solid foundation for a moral character, too. And this way, it's a major weapon in fighting delinquency. In your personal life and in your community life, nothing is more important than sharing your religious faith and going to your place of worship every week with your whole family. Religious freedom wasn't won easily, you know, so don't take it for granted. Go to your church or temple this week. It can't hurt, and it might be a lot of help. In the words of General Custer, life is just a bowl of Cherokees.
I can't forget you, Cherokee sweetheart, child of the prairie. Your love keeps calling, my heart enthralling, you Cherokee. Dreams of summertime, of summertime gone by. My brave Indian warrior, one day I'll hold you. In my arms I'll hold you, my Cherokee.
And now it's time for Betty Walker to go on. And on, and on, and on.
Here comes Betty Walker, be prepared to smile at the sound of the dial tone. Yes, Betty Walker, marathon talker, talkative bell of the telephone.
Hello, yes, yes, this is she. She's speaking, yes. Oh, you're looking for Seal? Oh, no, my friend Seal left just about 5 minutes ago. Who is this? Who? Oh, Hazel. How are you, Hazel? Of course I remember you. Please, how can I forget you? Aren't you the one, Hazel, whose little girl only speaks in 4 and 6 syllable words? Of course. Oh, I was very impressed. Yes. Excuse me? How am I? Sanguine. Very sanguine today. Oh, I'm sure you know the meaning of that. It has a Greek origin. Yes. Sanguine meaning blood root. Yes. Thank you. Excuse me? Well, frankly, Hazel, Seal asked me not to tell anybody where she went, you know. Yes, just a second. Children! Children! Impart yourself from that excavation immediately! And just deny that facetious look on your face! Hello, Hazel? Oh, they know what I'm saying, yes. Well, I'll tell you what it's about, you know. You know, Seal got a ticket in her car a few weeks ago. And Seal, instead of just paying the fine, she decided to be a real Portia. Yeah, so when she got in front of the judge, she was foolish enough to say guilty with an explanation. Yeah. Hazel, the explanation is what killed her. Yeah. So they went down now to try and get her license back. Okay. Well, good conversing. Okay, Hazel. Bye.
I live on the Kamikaze label.
Baby, I can't live to love you as long as I want to. Life isn't long enough, baby, but I can love you as long as I live. Maybe I can't give you diamonds and things like I'd want to, but I can promise you, baby, I'm gonna want to as long as I live. I never cared, but now I'm scared I won't live long enough. That's why I wear my rubbers when it rains and eat an apple every day and see the doctor anyway. What if I can't live to love you as long as I want to? Long as I promise you, baby, I'm gonna love you as long as I live. Maybe I can't live to love you as long as I want to. Life is long enough, but maybe I can love you as long as I live. Maybe I can't give you diamonds and things like I'd want to, but I can promise you, baby, I'm gonna want to as long as I live. I'll even wear long underwear when winter breezes blow. I'm going to take good care of me, because a sneeze or two might mean the flu, and that would never do. What if I can't live to love you as long as I want to? Long as I promise you, baby, I'm gonna love you as long as I live.
Basin Street, the only street with hot and cold running blues.
Why don't you come along with me to the Mississippi? We'll take a boat to the land of dreams and steam down the river down in New Orleans. You know the band there to meet us. Oh, friends to greet us. Where all the light and dark folk meet. Away down yonder, down on Basin Street. Let me tell you about that Basin Street. It's the street where the Eli always meet in New Orleans. Land of dreams. You never know how nice it seems or just how much it really means. I'm glad to be, yes sirree, welcome spree and dear to me. That's why I can lose these Basin Street blues.
Now here's Dr. Rose Franzblau.
Love is a question of time and finesse. Romance is a matter of no or of yes.
But marriage is sure as a checkmate in chess.
So listen with care to counsel from Flair.
This is Dr. Rose Franzblau speaking for Flair. Who among us hasn't heard the following complaint about mothers-in-law?
My mother-in-law is a very nice person, but she's always telling me what to do and trying to help around the house. If it weren't for the children who love her, I could explode.
Let's admit to begin with that mothers-in-law, like mothers, can be very annoying when they come up with unsolicited suggestions and advice. They really mean to be helpful, and also they want to be shown the respect of being the elder who has had great experience and knows her way around the world. By the attitude of the children to the mother-in-law, one can very often estimate what kind of a woman the mother-in-law really is. When the mother-in-law becomes a grandparent, she ceases to be a nuisance and becomes the beloved, bountiful, good, sweet lady in the household. Perhaps if a daughter-in-law could see her mother-in-law through the eyes of her children, she would be more patient with this mother-in-law, who, to the children, is a mother in love, not a mother-in-law.
Here are some facts you may not have known about NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. NATO has grown and prospered since its founding in 1949. Yet the United States has not underwritten most of the expense. As a matter of fact, European members have paid for 85% of the total cost, have supplied 60% of the equipment and supplies used by NATO forces, and they have provided the major share of its manpower. NATO is a voluntary association of sovereign states, each bearing its fair share of the burden. We can all be proud of NATO and grateful for it too, for NATO is guarding your freedom.
Thank you.